Blanca Santiago. Good evening, Senator Grzegorski, Representative Pascal, and members of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you to urge your support of LD 1611. My name is Blanca Santiago. My name is not Beth Stickney, but the document that you're all going to receive says Beth Stickney. I am reading her testimony. She cannot be here today. My name is Beth Stickney. I am the director of the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project and have specialized in immigration law for the last 23 years. ILAP is Maine's only nonprofit provider of immigration law and related legal aid to low-income residents. Each year, ILAP serves over 2,000 individuals statewide, coming from approximately 100 countries around the globe. Maine's immigrant population has been growing steadily over the past two decades. In fact, while ILAP believes that the U.S. Census greatly undercounts Maine's immigrant population, even the 2007 census shows that 44,464 Mainers self-identified as foreign-born, representing a 21.2% increase since 2000. Many of Maine's immigrants come from Africa, Asia, and Latin America. In 2009, ILAP assisted individuals from 109 different countries of origin. And more than 80% of the individuals that ILAP served were immigrants with limited English proficiency, or LEP, as I'll refer to it, the text that's coming. Immigrants like native-born U.S. citizens sometimes commit crimes and serve their sentences in Maine's prisons. Unlike most native-born U.S. citizens, however, Maine's LEP immigrants may have communication barriers that lead to misunderstandings with the corrections officers who watch over them and with their fellow inmates as well. These communication difficulties can cause LEP individuals to be construed having disciplinary issues that may, in fact, arise simply from not understanding correction officers' instructions or commands or other communications in English by inmates or prison staff. Immigrant inmates may also come from countries where not only do concepts such as due process not exist in practical terms, but also where persons sent to prisons have no right even to be fed while in prison, let alone the right to be safe and to be treated humanely and fairly by correction officers and the prison system. Immigrants, therefore, are particularly vulnerable, and the need for regulations clearly outlining the need for review of those sent to special management units, SMUs, and for clear limits on duration of time spent in SMUs is particularly acute. The fact that their own cultural context may lead them to have no expectation of any rights or process means that immigrants may be less likely than the native-born inmate population to try to request a review of their confinement. Therefore, laws that require reviews to happen proactively can ensure that immigrants whose solitary confinement may be inappropriate can be detected and ended. The Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution prohibiting cruel and unusual punishment applies to U.S. citizens and non-citizens alike. Solitary confinement is, at minimum, a serious deprivation of liberty for any inmate, though arguably it may be warranted in certain circumstances for brief periods. However, without reasonable limits imposed on its use by statute, solitary confinement can also rise to the level of cruel and unusual punishment. For any inmate, native-born or immigrant, with mental health issues or without, reasonable limits on the use of SMUs and prescribed well-defined parameters concerning reviewing the case of each inmate held in an SMU is critical. But for immigrants who may be at high risk of having their behavior misinterpreted due to language barriers and cultural differences, and who may be unlikely to understand that even though incarcerated, their rights as persons under the U.S. Constitution are not checked when they enter the prison's confines, such a statute clearly defining limits on the use of solitary confinement and other excessive punishment is particularly urgent. On behalf of ILAP, I urge the committee to support LD 1611. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration of this bill. And I just wanted to add that as a member of the Central Latino, representing a Central Latino here, that the fact fact that there are Hispanic inmates, Latino inmates in the state prison who are limited English, have limited English proficiency, greatly concerns me, and particularly the thought that they don't have access to any reading material, let alone documents that are translated so that they are able to understand. I also want to add that many Hispanic, in many countries in Latin America, the educational system is such that oftentimes people, not just in Maine, are illiterate. You know, they're not literate in their own language. So to have that contact or to have someone there who can speak their language or help them navigate those systems and help them understand what their rights are as prisoners. I understand that when you go to jail, you lose a lot of your rights. But you always have a right to be treated as a human being. And so just thinking about that and, you know, just to offer myself up in terms of the, you know, the system itself, the prison system, the correction system, I don't believe that everyone in the prison system wants to see prisoners suffer for, you know, they are actually, after all, they are doing their time. That's supposed to be, like, their main punishment. They're doing their time. So you pay for your crime by doing your time. But I offer to help out in any way that I can. Our organization is happy to work with the system to see what things can be done in a better way. But we also support 1611 and would really urge you to consider this bill with, you know, or without amendments. I think it's an improvement over what is what I've heard here today. So, thank you.
Thank you, Santiago. Are there any questions? Representative Sykes?
Maybe Representative Haskell from San Diego. I realize this is not your testimony.
Right.
You're right here.
Yeah.
I'm confused about something. Probably don't know the answer, but maybe you could get it.
Okay.
Your third paragraph. You talk about an increase of 21.2% since the 2000 census.
Yes.
It references the 2007 census. I didn't realize we did a census in 2007. And I'm wondering how we arrived at that.
I think it's probably American Community Survey.
Could you find that out for us?
I can certainly find that out for you, yes.
Thank you.
I'll put a circle around that. I don't have a pen, but thank you. Is there anything else?
Thank you. Representative Bank.
Thank you, Chair Haskell. I know you're reading from the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project. However, you mentioned you were from the Centro Latino?
Yes.
Okay.
You say that so nicely.
Well, I worked in the inner city for 28 years, so I think I've got a little cred there. But in a multicultural Hispanic community. Have you or your organization volunteered to come in and do those kinds of translations, especially document translations for people?
I think that's what I'm saying now. Yes. You know, I really didn't realize there have been lots of things that Central Latino has been working on. So, you know, there's a lot of work to do in this state, and it's a small organization, but it looks like it's definitely within our mission to help. So that's why I offered that. I understand that that there's new administration, and so I would like to work with that new administration. Anything that they need,
I think that would be a very good step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additional questions? Seeing none, we thank you for your testimony. From other proponents.